Let us pray. Dear Jesus, it's a good thing you were born at night. This world sure seems dark. I have a good eye for silver linings, but they seem dimmer lately. These killings, Lord, these children, Lord, innocent violated, raw evil demonstrated. The whole world seems on edge, trigger happy, ticked off. We have threats of chemical weapons and nuclear bombs. Are we one button push away from annihilation? Your world seems a bit darker this Christmas, but you were born in the dark, right? You came at night. The shepherds were night shift workers. The wise men followed a star. Your first cries were heard in the shadows. To see your face, Mary and Joseph needed a candle flame. It was dark. Dark with Herod's jealousy, dark with Roman oppression, dark with poverty, dark with violence. Herod went on the rampage, killing babies. Joseph took you and your mom into Egypt. You were an immigrant before you were a Nazarene. Follow us, O Lord Jesus. You entered the dark world of your day. Won't you enter ours? We are weary of bloodshed. We are like the wise men looking for a star. We, like the shepherds, are kneeling at a manger. This Christmas, we ask you, heal us, help us, be born in you and us, hopefully your children. Amen. That was a prayer that I found on the internet in a blog that I read by Max Licato. As you know, this past week, we had a killing that took the lives of many young children that will never, ever be able to experience adulthood. Parents that have spent months preparing for this time of the season, buying gifts, trying to find the right gifts for their children, now they will never be opened. So as we look this morning, I want us to think not with what we had, the Christmas of spirit, but I want us to look at what should we do when disaster hits, when it strikes. We look in Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. If you have your Bibles, turn to that. Now there were some present at the time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will perish. Or those 18 who died when the Tower Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will perish." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for the fruit on it, but he did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now I have been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should I use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I will dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." We are left with many emotions, many questions. This year, we have happy thoughts. We're excited about the spirit of Christmas, the time of families coming together when they aren't able to come together sometimes ever before that. But we also come with sadness. We come with sadness because of the ones that were killed. We come because of those that have lost loved ones. Also, and they find Christmas a hard time to celebrate when their loved one lost at that time. So the question becomes, how and what should we do when disaster strikes? We read about the scriptures just then. We read this morning. As we see, there are four important lessons to be learned this morning about the innocence of people that suffer. We see that throughout history, this has happened. This is not the first time this has ever happened. This is not the first time that children have been shot or killed. As you remember, back in the times of Moses, remember Pharaoh's order? All children under the age of 2 that are Jewish should be killed. And then King Herod, during this time of celebration with Jesus, also passed a decree. All children under the age of 2 that are Jewish babies are to be killed. And so we see that the suffering of children has been throughout history. But for us, maybe it becomes reality as we look at the news, as we come this morning, thinking of those that have lost loved ones, those children that have been lost, those parents of what they have to go through. And what about those little children that sit cuddled up and huddled up together in a group, crying, seeing, knowing what was going on, leaving those rooms and have to see classmates that have been killed, teachers that have been shot, blood that had been spilled, and having to run out of that school at the time. How will those children that are living today remember Christmas from now on? As we think about that, we see that, number one, disaster occurs without prejudice. It is in prejudice, but in other times it's not. Jesus makes it clear that the popular idea that God will get you or God will destroy you is discarded. God is a God of love, and if He is a God of love, then He's not going to get even with us, is He? We do. We get even with one another. But we see that Jesus says this comment addresses a situation of human injustice. We've had a choice since day one. When God created Adam and Eve, He put them in a garden. And in that garden was these beautiful fruit trees, beautiful things of this, and everything was taken care of. All they had to do was to eat and enjoy life. But there was one tree they were not supposed to touch, think about, look at, and they did. And since that day, we have been cursed. We have seen that we see the injustice more than we see the justice. And we see that the Galileans, whose blood Pilate mixed with their sacrifices, we don't know anything about this event. We don't know a whole lot about it. But we do know that Jesus says that the reason for the deaths was not because of they were more guilty than others. There are people that we see in this world today that we think are worse than others. We think there are sins that are bigger than others. But God says no. It's not because of how much sin you have in your life or how big of sin it is. It's none of those types of things. Recently, a 12-year-old girl was walking, and she was killed in a nearby town. She was ruthlessly murdered and dumped in a trash bin. Jesus makes it clear that those who suffer from human injustice do not deserve their suffering. And we see today, more so with television, with internet, and all of the others, we see all of these things that are going on, all of the injustices, and they have been brought to us. But we also see their natural disasters. We see that those that were 18 who died within the Tower of Siloam that fell on them. They fell and they died. We just had, not too long ago, Hurricane Sandy come through. Destroyed thousands and millions of dollars worth of homes and stores and everything else. People lost their lives in that also. And they are trying to recover from that. But we see God is always there. Natural disaster occurs for all of the following reasons. Number one, because we are all subject to creation. Matthew 5:45 says, He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Secondly, we see because the creation is groaning from its curse. We are hurting from the curse. Genesis 3:17-18 says, Cursed is the ground because of you. Though painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. Thirdly, because God is a sovereign and works everything for His purpose. And I probably feel that this is the worst scripture verse for me to have to identify, to define, and to share with people. When we look in and it says, all things work for the glory of God. How do I explain to our children? How do I explain to parents that have just lost their child that verse? How do you tell them that God is a God of love, not a God of hatred? How do you share with that? Proverbs 16:4 says, "The Lord works out everything for his own end, even the wicked for a day of disaster." And then he goes on in Isaiah 14:24 and says this, "The Lord Almighty has sworn, surely as I have planned, so it will be, and as I have purposed, so it will stand." The second reason we see disaster should cause us to evaluate our own lives. As we look at King Nebuchadnezzar, we see in Daniel 4:34, he said this, "At the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards the heaven, and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified Him who lives forever. His domain is an eternal domain. His kingdom endures from the generation to generation." He reflected and he praised God. But on the other hand, if we consider how the Jews of Judah reacted when they were taken into captivity, they despised God, they hated God, and they went up and down the streets and took them, and they swore against God. In Luke 13, Jesus warns, "Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." The third thing that we see this morning is calls us to just look at the fragility of life. Contemplate. Life is fragile. Jesus uses the talk of the Jews that were murdered by Pilate to search. And he says, be prepared. Everyone will die. Every one of us. We don't know when it'll occur, but we do know we have an appointment with death. We can't control the timing of it. We can't add or take away from it, but it will happen. We will all perish. The prodigal son, when he left, his father thought he was dead. And he was actually saying, I was starving to death. And maybe today, some of us are starving to death. We see in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Jesus teaches us to love. His Father taught us to love. And we see that judgment may be delayed, but it won't be denied. We cannot escape it. When disaster strikes, recognize that it might be you. You know, anybody can get a gun, any place, anywhere, anytime. We've seen it happen. We've saw it at Columbine. We've seen it at others. We've seen it here, as we've heard on the news today. Life is frail. It is so easy. As I get older, I realize that the things that I did when I was young, falling out of a tree, falling down, and being able to pop back up. But to fall down now, I won't pop back up. And I realize the older I get, the more brittle my bones get. I've heard of so many senior adults that have fallen, broken their hips, broken their legs, broken their arms with just a fall that a few years ago, it wouldn't have bothered them. We become fragile. We are fragile each and every day. And then finally, the disaster causes us to show compassion to those that are in need. When the hurricane came through after it was over with, Virginia Baptist sent their teams up there. Southern Baptist, or the other states, sent their teams up there to feed, to take care, and to help those that were in need that had lost their homes. When we had 9/11, we sent people up there to feed, to help clean up, to take care of. How do we take care of these today? First, we pray. We pray for the families that have lost loved ones. Secondly, we come together and pray as a group. There are already teams from all over the country that are going over to help, to comfort, ministers that have been trained to counsel, others that have been trained to deal with these types of situations. And so we can help in any way that we can. And James says this in chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. So as we think about Christmas this year, there are a lot of good things. There's joy, there's hope, there's peace, there's love as we look through our Advent candles. There's excitement within our families with Christmas time and the spirit of Jesus, love to one another, the buying of presents for our family members, our loved ones, our children, the anticipation of Christmas morning, getting up and unwrapping all of those things. And for many, it will be a joyful occasion. But for many, it will be a very sad occasion, because they won't be able to celebrate Christmas with those loved ones. They won't be able to see those children unwrap those presents. They won't be able to hear their children running and say, "Can we go upstairs or go downstairs or wherever it may be and open those presents up?" There won't be any of that. But the most important thing there will be for this Christmas is Jesus, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as that prayer said earlier, it really touched home with me. Jesus was born in darkness, but Jesus is the light. And I thank God for that. Let us pray.